Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, it's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Colin.
And, that number is 603-283-6160. A really crazy story that apparently just happened 2 weeks ago, but feels like way longer ago. I don't know why. There are these two parents, the parents of Ethan Crumbly, which is a hilarious last name for some reason. It just sounds like somebody in like a children's story, like a goose tail, mother goose tail or something. So Ethan Crumbly is a mass murderer and he's dead. But it's another situation where, well, they got to jail someone. They have to punish someone, which the justice system is always pumping out, you know, different cases like this where, like, well, the actual criminal is dead in this case, or in Africa, in Ian Freeman's case. So, but we have to punish someone because we feel bad for other people. Well, Ethan Crumbly's parents got sent to 10 to 15 years in prison, I think it is.
Yeah, for manslaughter, right?
Oh, okay. That's what me and Colin were wondering before the show. Like, what was the charge? And I had heard, but I didn't actually read this, but I had heard that it's all because they were like, oh, well, you were bad parents, so since you were neglectful parents and then your kid shot up a school, you should personally be charged.
Yeah, that's the kid that they bought him a gun for his Christmas present or his birthday present, and they didn't get a mental health help, and so everyone decided that they're guilty of killing the people that their son killed.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. This is just proof.
I blame the person they got their breakfast from that morning.
Yeah.
Too. Might as well. In fact, anybody who knows them should just all go to jail. The whole town should go to jail.
The gun manufacturers.
The gun manufacturers, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really think that you could get a lot of the American public to agree with at least some of the people in that scenario. Like, oh, the people they bought their breakfast from, maybe not, but like their neighbors. Because my sister...
So wait, was it in a school that it happened?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, well, why don't they throw the principal in jail? I mean, he obviously had an unsafe building that anybody could go into like that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's manslaughter.
It's like the same line of thinking. My
negligence.
Sister, she's really crazy, and she's always going to the cops, and she's like schizophrenic. She's gone to the cops about me, and like they're just like, we can't do anything about this story. You
Runs
seem
in
like
the family?
You're making up. No. And so one thing that she does is she makes up these stories. So she'll be like, yeah, this kid was sexually assaulted at my church. Like, it's completely made up in her head, as far as I know. And then she'll start contacting the work of other people that went to the church in 2012 at the same time as her and be like, you knew this was happening. I know this girl went to the same church as me, and she knew this sexual assault was happening by this other kid. You need to fire her. No, that is exactly what she does. So people, like, there are really dumb people all over the United States that would get on that jury. And then they would say, yeah, they're guilty too. I'm pretty sure because, I mean, my sister's not, she's just like an average person, but just maybe a little more crazy. So and the thing is, like, if you're really crazy enough and you want to be on a jury and you're dumb, they'll put you on the jury because they want those wild cards that will do whatever they want them to.
They want people who are emotionally manipulatable so that it becomes a competition between the prosecutor and the defense attorney as to who could, because if it's a matter of the facts, you actually might have more cases being determined properly. Yep. But, you know, people are, who are dumb and emotional, it turns it more into a game.
And that's what I was saying, like, about Ian's trial when I gave that speech in Chicago. I went to a conference in Chicago and gave a speech about Ian's trial. Well, I was saying it's, like, so clear to me that these trials are not, like, a fact-finding mission. It's not like, oh, well, let's get down to the bottom of this, and whatever the truth is, that's what the jury should know about. No, like, it's exactly what Colin was saying. Both sides are just trying to make the most, you know, just appeal to the jury's emotions, and it's like all a show, and it's like kind of like, you know, you go with the side that you like the most. It's so stupid.
The thought of even having a jury of random people decide my fate is terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to people and hear their opinions? Like, a lot of them are really bad.
Ori just loves people, like the general public.
So. Oh, yeah, I do.
She goes to Walmart and she just loves them all.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's already terrifying enough. But it's worse when you consider the fact that the people who, like, may be sympathetic to you are going to get kicked off. Because the jury, I mean, the prosecution also has the quote-unquote right to kick off a certain amount of jurors, which is, like, absolutely crazy. They're not the one on trial. It's like this. These trials are set up as if the prosecution's, like, record is just as important to protect as your innocence or your life, because your life is getting taken away.
Go ahead.
If they want the death penalty, they'll ask the jurors how they feel about the death penalty, and if they say I'm against it, they'll just kick them off the jury.
Yeah.
Which seems extremely biased and like that shouldn't be allowed.
It is. And in Ian's case, he had a bunch of his charges were not cryptocurrency related, quote unquote, because there's not really such thing. But cryptocurrency was involved in the case. So they asked the jurors, do you know about cryptocurrency? And the prosecution got to throw off a whole bunch of people that knew about cryptocurrency. It's like if it was just a regular...
Could they throw everybody off of the jury who knows about guns in this case?
Or knows about the US
dollar. Do you know about
guns?
Oh, well, sorry, you can't be on this jury to determine if this person murdered someone with a gun.
Yeah.
Are you educated in any way? Get out of here.
Yeah, seriously. And they also asked them in Ian's case, at least. So I'm just talking about Ian's because it's the one I know about the most. But they asked them questions like, "How are you, like, sympathetic to the U.S. government?" So the U.S. government's the other side of the other team. So how is that fair? But this is a call-in talk show, so I'm going to go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind? Might be driving. It's kind of a lot of noise.
I'm pretty sure Ethan Crumbly's still alive.
Oh, he is? Sorry about that. Maybe he is.
90% sure on that, but pretty sure he's still alive.
Okay, I guess I just thought he was not alive because this is kind of funny, but I'm looking at this, like, memorial thing, but I'm just realizing that's for the kids he shot. It's just I really quickly scrolled down and I see this picture here. Well, thanks for that. We're going to actually get into the article, so I'm probably wrong about that. Thank you for calling in. Anything else on your mind?
Nope, that was it.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I didn't actually read this article yet. I see this memorial with, like, teddy bears and stuff. Of course it's not for the shooter.
Yeah, no, that's for the shooter.
Because he's dead. Oh, my gosh.
If that was the real state of the country, then he would be found guilty.
Oh my gosh.
Was he found... He must have been found guilty, too, then. I don't remember, because there's so many of these cases nowadays. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there was Columbine, and that was the big thing. And then it seemed like that was the big thing for, like, years. But now there's, like, one every month, you know.
Yeah. Maybe that
they're constant. I can't keep their names.
Maybe Ethan Crumbly already got found guilty or something, and that's why I feel, because I felt like this was like months ago that his parents got put in jail, but maybe it was he got put in jail months ago.
I think it was him and then his mom. And then his dad.
Well, read the article.
It says that they got sentenced last week, and that just does not sound right. So it says, when a Michigan judge sentenced James and Jennifer Crumbly last week to 15 to 10 years or 10 to 15 years in prison for murders committed by their son, my first thought was good riddance. In 2021, 15-year-old Ethan Crumbly had sprayed bullets down the halls of his high school north of Detroit, killing four classmates and injuring seven more. The punishment for his parents seemed harsh, but I reserved my sympathy for the innocents he had killed, not the derelicts who'd raised him.
Okay. But just because you... I mean, they were terrible parents. But just because you raise somebody doesn't mean they're going to do all the things you say.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to act like you, even if you're a good parent.
Yeah.
Kids do things. People do things. They're individual human beings. They're not little robots that you program and then they go do whatever you tell them to.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I mean, like, I'm sure this guy would say, like, oh, they don't get to take all the credit for all the good things their kids do as adults.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure 15. That he's a youth, right? Like, under 18.
He's 15.
Yeah, 15, that's right. So, they're getting it under that sort of thing, you know, like saying, oh, they're your responsibility, legally speaking, so therefore you're responsible for this. Because there are different things that kids do already, legally speaking, that the parents are held responsible for. But I'm wondering, I mean, the real principle that they want to get at here, it's not like they need to go after these parents to send a strong signal to parents to, like, do something different with their kids. It's not like that. I mean, obviously it's like a little bit of revenge, let's say, or getting even.
That's
or
what
whatever. But I think the principle, what they'd like to do going forward, is probably get it to where, like, oh yeah, you're a 50-year-old son, you know, did something. Let's go after the parents and then the grandparents too. You know, because that's the thing too. I mean, the grandparents are what made the parents the way that they are. So can we just lock the whole family up? Maybe they'll do what they do in China where they send a bill to the parents after they execute the kid, you know,
well,
the government. Oh, you haven't heard about that? Yeah, they send them the bill for the bullets in China.
That sounds like they do that just to be us.
So
I can't say that. Well, I can say that, but if I finish what I was going to say, then it's not FCC friendly.
So even if it was because they're responsible for their kids, as like if your kid broke a window and you'd have to pay for it, mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense because he was charged also for murder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as an adult.
As an adult and got life in prison. So
yeah.
How can you say he's an adult and a child at the same time?
Yeah, they've done that many times, actually.
Oh, but it makes no sense, though.
It doesn't make real sense. You're arguing.
I mean, I'm a man-child, so... Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
This is an opinion piece. So he's going to be speaking and is speaking like, oh, I think, blah, blah, blah. But back to the article, it says, now I wonder if this case represents a worrisome precedent. So at first he had thought, oh, I don't care about the derelicts who raised this mass shooter. But now he wonders if this case represents a worrisome precedent. The Crumblies appear to be the first parents in the U.S. to ever face criminal homicide charges for a school shooting committed by their child. They are being punished for buying their troubled teen a Sig Sauer 9mm handgun, failing to secure it, and ignoring all the signs of his emotional instability. Now, does Michigan have some kind of crazy laws where you have to, like, lock up your handgun in another room or something? Kind of made it sound like that. Because they bought it for him, but they had to secure it, like, away from him. If it was secured in a way he could just unlock it, then he...
Probably because he's a minor, matter. I assume.
That seems stupid. If it's his gun, they gave it to him. But you have to lock it away from him. And he's a 15-year-old. It's not like he's 8, you know? So it says, while the shooter was the one who entered the high school and pulled the trigger, prosecutor Karen McDonald argued in a 2021 news conference, there are other individuals who contributed to the events, and it's my intention to hold them accountable as well. Talking about the parents. Whoa, that's just so evil and stupid.
Yeah, they're terrible parents, but they didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, maybe they... I mean, like, is it just because the justice system doesn't like when people keep pointing out, like, oh, and these were abusive parents, and the police never noticed it this whole time?
No,
the schools never noticed it.
I think it's, let's see if we can get away with holding people responsible for other people's crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they would like nobody to have guns, so if they can add an introduced, you know, or an extra thing in people's mind, which is, oh, if I have this in my house and somebody else does something with it, I could be held liable. Maybe I don't want to have them. So they're just trying to attack the gun rights thing from every possible angle that they can.
There was actually a bill introduced, but it didn't pass even the House. In New Hampshire, I was reviewing bills for NHLA, and there was this one really bad bill introduced in New Hampshire maybe like 2 years ago, because I didn't do it this year, that would make it to where if you had a gun in your house and your kid took the gun and even threatened someone else with it, or someone else could claim that they were scared by the gun, then the parents could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, probably definitely if the kid... It's probably already a rule that if the kid went, like a child, grabbed your gun and it's not secured, and then went and did something, that the parents could get in trouble for that. But this was even just like if somebody else saw the gun and was scared or felt threatened, then, but it didn't even pass the House or anything.
Yeah. The Democrats of this state are always bringing up like really crazy stuff like that that fits into national narratives, but has no chance of passing here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the voters in this state should be aware that like these people don't represent anybody at all. They represent a groupthink from the national level. And that's why they're always pushing things that will like never pass. I mean, just think, like, this state doesn't even have a seatbelt law. So if it doesn't even have a seatbelt law, why would it have a law like this? You know?
Yeah, and I think that the Democrats are the ones that do that the most, where they're just basically putting in things. Because even Dave Ridley, I don't know where he got this exact number or anything, but in fact, I don't even know the exact number. But Dave Ridley will always say that there's some certain amount of money that it costs the taxpayer every time a state rep even puts a bill in. So imagine like putting in all these bills that you know won't pass just to make yourself look cool on a national level to other Democrats, and it costs the taxpayer.
How's it cost them? I mean, there's money that the legislature spends doing.
But there's like people that actually write the bills, and they have to spend time on that
administrative.
Yeah, but
work.
they would fill up all their time anyways. I mean, they'd always be proposing something. So I don't know if you could really properly. This is more of a philosophical argument about whether you can charge.
You're just assuming that they would make the same amount of bills otherwise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would.
It's not like there's some kind of bill quota. I mean, have to fill the same amount.
No, but they fill up their whole entire, like, I want to say docket with stuff that they're going to talk about and argue about. It's not like they ever, like,
no, but you're not
they
even
never
listening
finish. They never finish and, like, called, leave early. You know what I'm saying?
You think something else, though, because I'm talking about, like, on top of the legislature, there are the people who write the bills. So, like, you're like, I want to put in a bill that bans fishing.
And
there are different people that aren't the New Hampshire state representatives. And it's their job to, like, take all these. So they have a piece of paper that says, okay, Colin wants to ban fishing. And then they have to write that up and do research.
No, I get that. But I'm sure those people are probably, like, salary. Like okay, so I get is that there's a number. Like, oh, we have this branch of the government, and it costs us, like, $1 million or whatever the number is. And then take that number, divide that by the number of bills. That's the cost per bill. But
that doesn't mean that if a bill gets submitted,
they're like, oh, now we have to spend extra. I just think...
You'd have to ask Dave Ridley where he got the number. He might even call in.
Dave, call in and answer this question, or you're never going to be allowed on here again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, either
Unfree
way.
Talk Live, that's the new name.
Either way, just like getting elected just to sit around thinking of stuff that doesn't actually help the people that voted for you, and instead is just like you're putting it in just to make yourself look cool to a Democrat in New York City or whatever. It's really dumb. I mean, I'm sure that the Republicans do that too. I notice it a lot more from the Democrats.
I mean, I see them proposing stuff that, like, it's a bill that might pass in, like, California or some other place, never would here, and it's like, why are you even wasting your time? Like, you're supposed to work around the edges and then work your way in.
So, I don't even know
Wait,
how we
I, d- I don't
that.
Let them know that. That's a good idea.
I don't know what you even mean.
Don't let them know that that's how they're supposed to do it.
Yeah, you're supposed to start small and then work big, you know?
I don't know. I feel like there's all kinds of different, like,
they need to make it to where they can ticket people for not wearing seatbelts. You guys still don't have that. I mean, you really need that.
Oh my goodness, I kept forgetting that was a thing in Illinois, because I'm just so used to, like, it not mattering. Not that I ever don't wear a seatbelt. Like, I basically always wear a seatbelt. I feel like
I wear one too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but I don't want to be told to wear it.
Yeah, me either. But and it felt like when I was in Illinois, it kept being like, I just kept almost not wearing it, and then being like, oh yeah, I have to here, or at least it feels like you do.
I just wear it so I don't fly through the...
Well, it's nice to be able to make the decision on your own, because sometimes I'm doing, like, deliveries or things like that. It's like in and out, and you're in a city where you might never go faster than 35 miles an hour, and it's like the chances of this, like, causing a problem, but meanwhile, like, buckling and unbuckling each and every time when you're in a hurry and you're rushing and you're grabbing things and you're doing all this other stuff. You know, I mean, for years, like, I think, I don't even know if UPS drivers have belts in their vehicles. They might not. I don't know. I remember as a kid asking my parents, I was like, why don't they have belts in there?
But then why don't buses have seatbelts?
Yeah, why don't buses have seatbelts? Yeah, it's all the same, you know.
I mean, if somebody just doesn't want to wear it because they don't want to wear it for no other reason than they don't care, that's fine.
Yeah,
too.
No, I'm just defending the position that there are reasons why somebody wouldn't want to wear one that are reasonable.
Like, I don't want to is a good enough reason.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Some people have been in car accidents and they were told, oh, if you were wearing a seatbelt, this would have been worse or you would have died. I have the opposite, so that's why I really want to wear a seatbelt. They were like, oh, good thing you were wearing your seatbelt or this would have been worse. But
there have been some cases where people weren't wearing one and because they were thrown from the car, they survived.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been worse if they were wearing the seatbelt. So if you've ever experienced that, then I can totally understand. You're like, nope, I'm not wearing a seatbelt. But since I have the opposite, it really makes me want to wear a seatbelt. But as soon as somebody is like telling you have to, it just felt way more annoying to have to do it. But that's not a law in New Hampshire. That's the only place it's not a law.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, in the 50 states at least.
Well, there's like an asterisk to that.
Oh.
So because they want to get federal funds, the federal highway funds, they do have a law, but the law says that people under 18 have to wear it.
Mm.
So anybody, is it 18 or 20? Yeah, I think it's 18. Anyways, adults don't have to wear one, but occasionally you'll see them do this thing where they are actually like pulling people over or like checking to see if the kids are wearing the seatbelts. I haven't heard of one in a while, so I'm not sure if they've done one or if I just haven't heard of it.
I haven't even. I've only had to think about that once, and it didn't occur to me that it might be different. I drove my little brother and sister last year when my parents came to visit, just like down the street, and I was thinking. I told them to buckle up, but then I was like, oh, they don't even have to. It's New Hampshire.
another interesting thing is there's no law, let's say, for the adults, but they still have those signs. Like, as you enter each and every state, if you've driven across the country, you'll see as you enter, like, it's illegal to have drugs in our state or blah, blah, blah. They all have a sign that says, you have to wear your seatbelt. I'm like, the only place they need that sign is on the states that surround New Hampshire. Why does any other state even have that?
Yeah.
But New Hampshire has signs like that when you enter the state. And it's like, oh, be smart and wear. It's not like it's the law. It just says be. I'm like, that's like offensive to me. Like, you spent money.
Yeah.
We've the legislature, they bring it up every like 5 years or something.
Really?
And
take them down?
Not the signs, but to make a seatbelt law.
Oh, yeah.
And it always gets turned down. Mm-hmm. And it has so it's like there's repeatedly been turned down over the years. And yet the DOT or whatever it is has decided, well, we're still going to put up signs anyways to tell people what they ought to do. And I'm like, that's really kind of offensive to me. It's like, it really just tells people how much the people in the government, like the employees and the workers, think that they run your life and are no better than you.
Yeah, and if you're entering Arkansas, you'll see signs that say, like, even at 1 week, it's a child. Don't abort your babies and stuff like that. Or, like, Jesus loves
you.
Wait,
by the government?
No.
Oh.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. We're discussing people getting thrown in jail for their kids' crimes.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Ukrainian President Zelensky expressing gratitude to the U.S. for passing the foreign aid package for Ukraine.
I hope that you and the Americans will feel the result of their help. A result to save Ukraine and Ukrainians.
President Biden announced shipments of military aid will start reaching Ukraine within hours. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Thursday on Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity against charges related to overturning the 2020 election. The outcome could decide whether Trump faces a federal trial this year on four felony counts brought by special counsel Jack Smith. A new report can help determine if you are still earning enough to be considered middle class. Smart Asset, a financial site, analyzed data from the U.S. Census Bureau and the Pew Research Center to establish the middle class salary range in all 50 states. John Schaefer, USA News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. It doesn't matter. You can change the subject and bring up whatever you want to talk about or comment on what we're talking about. Tell us we're wrong. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live, and that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
And in the last segment, we were talking about this story. It's actually an opinion piece from the Wall Street Journal.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
First, about what Colin was saying.
Uh-oh. So, I can't defend any of my positions. Just letting you know that right now.
So there's no seatbelt law in New Hampshire, but they'll stop you and pull you over and look to see if people are wearing seatbelts. How is that not an illegal stop,
though? I'm trying to remember exactly how they do it, if they were doing it as like checkpoints or if they were just like ramping up the highway patrol thing and then like looking for. I don't exactly remember, but I've heard of them doing these campaigns. You know what? Give me a minute and I'll maybe look up one of those.
Okay, because that sounds like an illegal stop to me.
I'm trying to remember the details.
But they also just stop people for being like, you look suspicious. Like, I read this whole story.
Yeah,
about,
that gets me all the time because I just look guilty.
Specifically, it was like about New Hampshire. It wasn't even like national or anything like that. There was this whole article about how tons of people were getting racially profiled and cops on the road were creating all these drug arrests because they would pull over people who just looked quote-unquote suspicious. Oh, turns out most of them are not white, too, and getting pulled over by white cops. And then they're like, oh, by the way, you looked suspicious. I pulled you over. Now I smell drugs. Now I'm going to check the car for drugs, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. When we lived in Utah, because Stu has dark skin and dark hair and dark features, he would get pulled over all the time.
Oh, wow.
Constantly.
Like the darkest looking person, and you have brown hair.
Right, yeah.
All the Mormons are mostly like blonde hair.
Right, because we lived in like, you know, Mormon country.
Yeah. I don't know how many people like actually know that haven't lived in Utah, but it actually is a true thing that like tons of Mormons actually have like blonde hair. They're super tall.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know any other religion where everybody really looks that similar. I don't know if it's actually because
they all look like they sell MLMs.
Yeah, actually, that's so true. So
I have a bit of an answer. So what was this? I think I clicked over from a WMR article on it.
WMUR.
And this, yeah, sorry. And this is, is this a government site? I'm not sure. But it says that yes, they do short-term high-visibility enforcement involving a brief period of increased police efforts, including checkpoints and saturation patrols. Though these efforts, highly publicized through a media campaign, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So they do stuff. Combined nighttime enforcement programs. Yeah. So they do that. I hear about these articles. I see it, you know. Of course, I don't have kids or anything like that, so I'm just like roll my eyes at it. But I do feel it's like, oh, you know, this is annoying, you know, that they're doing it.
Pulling people over to check and see if their kids are buckled up.
I think that's a violation of your rights.
There's probably just some silly, stupid little thing.
In the hopes that you committed a crime.
I don't know if they're pulling people. Well, so it sounds like they do checkpoints.
Unsure or something like that.
Yeah. Checkpoints, yeah. Just, yeah. You know, everyone's getting pulled
exactly.
Over.
Exactly. But then the other thing is, I think they're driving around and looking for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
The checkpoints are more against like the Fourth Amendment because it's unscreened. I can't remember the exact word they use in the Fourth Amendment. It's, you know, just the whole population getting searched for something instead of somebody who's actually suspected of a crime. So those are even worse. But they still happen. It's just like because they don't actually respect your rights.
Oh, yeah, that's why. I see.
Another thing in Utah, which makes it feel like it's more free in some other places in some respects, if you have too many kids in a car for the amount of buckles you have, then they can all just not wear a seatbelt. To fit into the car, yeah.
Oh, that's a Mormon. Well, yeah,
I know, right?
It wouldn't be fair if only one of these kids died, so you better, you know. How are you going to explain that to the other ones? You'd be like, well, we liked him less than the other ones.
It could be that, like, the amount of kids that there aren't seatbelts left for cannot be buckled, or can be not buckled up. But I thought it was everyone could not be buckled up.
Can you imagine how funny that'd be for the kids? Like, why am I the one that's not buckled?
Shut up, Cinderblock. we have a caller on the line, Rob from Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Rob, are you buckled up right now?
No, not yet. I don't have my seatbelt on because the car ain't running. Hey, look, I have some breaking news.
Oh, okay.
I'm over here in Claremont at the Claremont City office where they have the town hall meetings and stuff. And I want to say probably 50 or 60 people showed up here against Representative John Stone, and they wanted him, you know, out of this district.
And he's the cop that was getting people framed, kind of, for...
No. He was the cop that threatened to shoot up police station, his chief, rape his chief's wife and child.
No, he didn't do that. He threatened to.
With a 15-year-old.
Okay, he had an inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old, threatened to rape his chief or whatever, his wife. And
child.
And child. I thought it was like in front of his child or something. I don't know.
But anyways, the city council voted 5-3 and got him out.
Oh, so he was currently a state rep, and now he is kicked off?
Well, he was kicked off of In terms of representing Claremont, and I don't think out of the state office, but he's not representing Claremont anymore.
Okay, so he was a state rep, and or he wasn't a state rep, he was just a Claremont? I'm a little confused. What is he kicked off of, being a state rep?
Yes, I believe so.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, if you've been listening the last few weeks, there was somebody that called in Thursday when I had Jay Noon on, and I forgot her name. She had an English accent, but she lives in New Hampshire, and she follows this case really seriously. This guy, he was doing what I was saying. I just didn't have a good way to really quickly say what it was. His job when he was a cop was to pretend to be a 15-year-old girl on the internet and get people in trouble for stuff they otherwise weren't going to do anyway. And in my opinion, that's like maybe not framing, but like entrapment. And it's so gross. And it's like we don't most people shouldn't appreciate
Bonnie,
you going around
being really judgmental. I mean, he just identifies that way.
Exactly. It's like you've got to be a total weirdo to want that job and like get really good at it. Like I'm always just pretending to be a 15-year-old. Why don't they ever pretend to be 15-year-old boys? Like what the heck? It's super creepy. Anyways, thank you for the update, Rob. That's interesting. So we've been hearing about that every once in a while. There are people in New Hampshire that really care about that going on, because recently, I don't know if it was the New Hampshire Supreme Court or something, for some reason this rule got turned around where you used to not be able to see the what is it called when you get in trouble with
Lori
a job
list?
It's not that. No, the Lori list is not like public yet. No.
Oh.
It's you know, you've gotten in trouble with your job, so your record with the job. Well, they weren't making it public, the cops' disciplinary records.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is public, and because of that, it was figured out who this quote John Doe in a lawsuit was, and it was this guy. I already forgot his name, but the guy that Rob is calling in about. Mm. He was a current state rep, and apparently he got kicked off of being a state rep because people are mad enough about what he was doing. But it's just like, to me, his job itself was worthy of being grossed out by him and not wanting to, you know, have him represent you and stuff. But I think most people are mad because allegedly when he was approached for some kind of misconduct by his, I guess Rob says it was his chief. Well, then he was like, if you, but the thing is, it's so unclear. I don't know if it's if you keep investigating me or what the if is, but he threatened his chief with, oh, I'm going to rape your wife in front of your kids, or maybe rape your wife and your kids. I don't remember, but Rob said it was that way, so maybe it's that way.
I mean, there's not a recording of that, is there?
There's just nothing.
So it's the police against the police?
Yeah, exactly. It's the police against the police.
I wouldn't trust any of them, actually.
And the other thing is, I don't think he should go to jail for that.
He probably has dirt
that,
on them.
Well, I don't know, because now they let it out. But so I already have said that I don't think Chris Cantwell should be in jail, and it's basically the same thing. He said, I'll have sex with your wife in front of your kids and she'll like it, or something like that. Can I say that on the radio? Maybe. Yeah, you could say have sex with on the radio. See, I always ask, but now I'm the authority, so I don't know. I'm always asking Ian. But so anyways, Chris Cantwell said that to another Nazi. So it's Nazi on Nazi crime. Cop on cop crime is the same thing to me. So I don't really think that anybody should be in jail for saying that. So in fact, this cop probably had more of a potential of actually being able to do it. Chris Cantwell said it to a Nazi that he knew from online who actually lived in Missouri, who he didn't have the address
of. Was that a threat or was it an offer? Because
I don't know. And that's the thing, like, he said that, like, Chris Cantwell said it like that, like, I will do this.
I mean, you could say that everything they did was they were pretending.
Yeah, you
could. Because, I mean, he's only pretending to be a Nazi when you think about it.
I have no idea. I don't know him well enough to know if he's pretending
to be a Nazi. I mean, he doesn't dress well. Nazis dress well.
Yeah, I didn't know he doesn't dress well. I don't know. I don't know that much about Chris Cantwell. He used to be a Free Talk Live host. I've never even heard any of his shows, but he is really funny, so I bet that it was really good. But then he started to become a racist and stopped being a libertarian, so he got kicked off of Free Talk Live. Ian had to fire him because he just became a racist, and actually I think pro-violence too, maybe. Maybe I shouldn't say that for sure, because I don't know. But we do have a caller on the line, Jeremy West from Australia. Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm calling in again. Oh, I wanted to say, first of all, that every time I call, it's so nice to hear Ian's voice answering, saying that you've called the LRN studio.
Oh. Oh, so I guess that probably happens when you call on the SIP line. That's really cool.
Oh, you don't think that happens? Okay, anyway.
I don't know, actually.
On the regular line.
I could be wrong. I don't know, but that is really fun. I like hearing his voice on, like, the commercials.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's just him. He just says, hello, you've called the LRN Studios. Someone will be with you just as soon as possible.
Aw, so cool.
But anyway, I'm calling in as the TikTok correspondent, giving voice to keyboard warriors. And someone, last week you were talking about...
Oh, it's me again.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I said, oh, it's me again, is it?
No. Well, it was the team last week.
Oh, okay.
You were talking about the... It's not an attack, actually, at all. You were talking about the non-binary person who wanted to add a vagina. They already had a penis, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe they call that an addictomy.
No.
No, that's the other, if they already had a vagina and wanted a penis.
Yeah.
Anyway. But somebody commented, and so you... Sorry, what happened was, not only did they want that, which I'm perfectly fine with, if they find a way to pay for it on their own, but they forced the city government to pay for it, or?
Yeah, it was Ottawa, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so somebody said, how about if, actually, Chelsea, I should say the name. Chelsea said, how about if you want surgery and stuff paid for, let scientists and psychologists study you so we can learn more about people going through this. That sounds like a great idea to me that people can get it paid for if they, not by governments, but if they let the scientists and psychologists study them, then they can get the scientists can pay for the surgery.
I think we just need people to push this to its craziest logical extent, which is, you know, there's, oh, I identify this way. I'd like to represent myself this way in public. I think it'd be great if it's like just a bunch of women went into the city government. They're like, yeah, I identify as a woman with big breasts. Can I get like implants? And like guys go in and be like, I identify as like a big muscled jock. Can I get a bunch of hormones and go, you know, get bulked up and stuff? Like, we just need people to take it to its logical. We could all get stuff out of this. I mean, you know, you have a little too much hair. You want to get some hair removal. Be like, yeah, I identify as a guy who doesn't have hair on my back. You know, like.
What? So a problem
you're absolutely
with
right, because I don't agree with, you know, government funding or whatever, but if we can steal that money to just better ourselves instead of having them spend it on dropping bombs on brown people on the other side of the world, then let's move all the funding to that.
One more thing, if I could say this, that's interesting about this is the British healthcare system has some mechanism, because I've read about this, because they pay for everything, by which women go and complain and to get plastic surgery.
Really?
Yeah.
Complain.
Yeah, it's not.
What does that
well,
mean?
I mean, they have to like petition for it in some
like
way.
Like just being like, I'm so ugly or what?
I don't know what the thing is, but it's provided by their it's not out of pocket. Although if they're wealthy, they can just go to a country and get it. But because it's a national healthcare system, like how do you get like cosmetic surgery done? And so, like, I've read articles where,
so they can't pay for it themselves.
Yeah, they're like complaining. They're like, oh, I had to wait this long to get this cosmetic surgery done. That's totally elective, not like a burn victim or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
So the problem
I got to say, I don't believe in a government-funded healthcare system at all. I'm so glad that the Australian system is not the same as Canada or the UK, where you're not allowed to do private health. So here, there is a government system that everyone's automatically in, but there's also a private system. So, for example, so you can have private health insurance or pay for it yourself.
And is there like a
get it straight away, not wait a year?
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, is there a big difference? Do people in Australia talk and say like, oh yeah, it's much better to use the private? You know, do you hear about that a lot?
Huge. I needed a colonoscopy and I was able to get straight in with private health insurance, but I had to wait like 6 months to get an appointment, to get a referral, to get something else if I was going to go through the public system.
At least you got your work done down under.
It's kind of interesting that you have those two systems side by side to where people can clearly see the difference and that they even hold on to the government one at all. But what were you going to say, Lori?
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with... funding research instead. Is that scientists aren't like millionaires. They're just some guys in a lab somewhere doing the work that they're told to do. And it's all funded by research grants given by the government through taxpayer money. So then you're paying for the research and the surgery, because that's also going to be funded by the same grants.
That is a good point. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, I don't know, if a scientist was like, I have that money and I want somebody to, you know, volunteer to do it. I don't see anything wrong with it, but it does make sense that there are still going to be tons of people that are like, yeah, and I want this, and I want this, and it's not like the scientists have all that money. And where do they get the money from is usually the
everybody
government.
Else. Everybody
yeah.
else.
Which is everybody else.
But yeah, if we did have a private research system, then yeah, that would be a great way to pay for surgery if you can't pay for it yourself.
If everybody that wants this done can just pool their money and hire someone to do it, then that's totally fine.
Yeah, it'd be a much better solution than getting everybody who doesn't want to, you know, somebody who works at McDonald's and this amount comes out of their paycheck and that amount is going to get you a breast surgery because you're a flat-chested woman who identifies as one with big boobs. That's not very fair. It's not very nice to that person working at McDonald's.
What if that person working at McDonald's also wants
big boobs?
Big boobs.
Yeah. Well, does that answer the question?
Well, yeah. But forget about public funding. If these things were all funded privately, people are like, oh, this is a slippery slope. What, you know, now people are going to be identifying as a cat and get surgery to be a cat or whatever.
Sure.
And to me, I'm like, yeah, so if they're happy right. that way, and people are like, oh, you should be treating their mental illness. Well, if they're just happy that way, then let them be a cat.
If somebody wants to be a cat and they get surgery to look like a cat, that would make life a little bit easier, because then I'd be like, I'm not going to hang out with the cat people. I immediately know that I don't want to hang out with the cat people.
I believe in treating these mental illnesses. So if there's any women who think that their breasts aren't the right size, I will help them feel better about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, the thing is, like, even if you believe in treating these mental illnesses, it still shouldn't be treated or paid for by the public. But yeah, I agree, Jeremy. I also think it's a little silly to act like there really is this slippery slope. I don't know, maybe sometimes I've thought that before, but I'm going back and forth. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean just because okay, here's what I'm trying to say. There are people that are born one gender and they identify as the other, and that makes total sense to me. I just don't think that is the same thing or should be conflated with these people who are like, I'm a cat. That's not the same thing. And I feel like it kind of hurts the people that want to be, that are just trans. Like, that is totally, like, that is something that logically I can see happening in a certain amount of people. But
I agree, but what I would say is that, so I believe the same as you, that it's a natural thing, born that way or whatever, but if people say, there's a lot of people who think, you know, it's a mental illness or it's their, or it's their choice or whatever, and even if it was, what's the problem with letting people be happy the way that they are, and, you know, live and let live? That's very libertarian to me.
Yeah, that's very true. Thank you so much for the update. Anything else on your mind, Jeremy?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
No more tickle talks?
As we call this, TikTok.
Nope. We're just getting one a day.
Oh, I should actually say that Jeremy runs our TikTok for us. And if you'd like to follow and help him make his goal of getting up to 10,000 followers, we are at Free Talk Live on TikTok. And we really appreciate everything you're doing for us there, Jeremy.
And it's over 8,000 now. I should every day say what it's at, because as an update, let's just quickly.
Wow, that's going faster than I thought.
8,042.
Wow. Thanks so much, Jeremy. And we do have another caller on the line. Sarah from New Mexico. You're not usually calling during the first hour. What's on your mind, Sarah?
Oh, I just want to say we ended up getting about 80 free product dollars. And we get like $3 of free if we use $100 from a credit card.
Who is we?
Well, Raymond. It's Raymond that's got his credit card.
So most people don't know who that is. So like Colin here, I don't think you've ever been on the show with Colin. I don't think, he doesn't know who Raymond is. That's the guy you live with. And the thing you're talking about, these credits, is for the
card.
The company you work for, the MLM you work for, the multi-level marketing company you work for, right?
Well, I call it the network marketing. You guys call it that, but mm-hmm. I don't think we all, because we don't do any delivery. But another thing, our shipping, when we pay the shipping, it's free product dollars. We get to buy free product for next month. And then he's got, I think, 22 people. So we get about, he gets about, I don't know, he gets $22 in free product dollars.
So he has 22 people on the tier lower than him.
About 12 people. I got about 8 people. So we have that spot for the two lines, and he could get free product dollars coming from that, just being a customer.
So, is this helping at all with, like, you paying rent or paying for anything that you used to do in your life, or I'm just wondering.
We take a lot of that. It does. Otherwise, we would pay money to buy our supplements because we like our supplements. We like the CoQ10. Vitamin D, Provic, CV, I shouldn't be saying that. I'll buy all the supplements, and then I use the air freshener. So otherwise, we would spend our own money.
So but basically, we get to. Okay, I understand. So it's Sarah doesn't get money for this job she does. She basically just gets paid in the products, and she makes sense in her head by saying, oh, well, I would be spending money on these supplements anyway, but I'm getting a better deal when I get
them
from...
That's how some drug dealers do it.
That's the old company stores that mm-hmm. they used to have way back when, where you worked, like in the coal mines, and they wouldn't pay you. You'd have to go to the company store and turn in your work for, like, supplies.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that really does sound like what that a similar thing. I knew the term company store, but I didn't really realize what that meant until just now. But it seems like the same thing.
Yeah, so they have company towns too.
Sarah's putting in this work, but she's justifying it in her head that she's not making any money. But then again, Sarah is a communist, literally. She calls herself a communist. So Sarah,
would you feel bad to live in a town run by her?
She's not going to understand that. Sarah, would you be upset if you were making money?
No, if he would find that one person, enroll them as a customer for over a month and cancel out the NIFMO, he would get that $22.
Okay, but I think she would feel bad because she's anti-capitalism. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.